Thanks the grace of the Lord that he has been guiding us in the past 2 weeks that we are able to be here to study, to learn, to pray, and to get to know him better. And hopefully after these 2 weeks of intensive class and training and prayer, we are somewhat know our Savior better. And not only that, we are also ready and determined to live a different life for the Lord after we leave here. As we mentioned earlier, today marks the end of NYTS 2013. But today also marks the beginning of your real training, real challenge in your real life. After today, you will be dispatched into different front lines of the battlefield to fight for the Lord. And some of you, in the next year, before you return here once again, some of you might be hurt. Some of you may encounter very difficult warfare. Some of you might cry because of the pressure. But if we are ready today, if we pray hard enough today, none of you will die. You will be discouraged. You will lose your heart. You will feel sad and sorrow. But you will rise again because you are the soldier of the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard me saying in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6. The hardworking farmer shall be the first to receive a share of the crops. Verse 7. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you the insight into all of this. This is the instruction from Apostle Paul to young worker Timothy. So last time, in the last prayer session, we talked about four things in order for you to qualify. Four things for you to qualify to be the worker of the Lord. And what are them? You don't remember, huh? So the first thing is that you must be strong. You must be strong. Of course, if you want to be a powerful soldier, you want to be a mighty soldier, you have to be strong. You have to be strong. When do you see a very weak, wimpy, fragile person and say, oh, I am mighty soldier? Or maybe when they turn 90. But when they are young, when they are in the front line, when they are fighting the battle, they are strong men. But how do you become a strong man? And here it says, in the grace of the Lord. Also, every day after you leave here, every day you need to meditate and ponder upon the grace that you have received from many years ago until this very moment. But if you look back and you found nothing, I don't have any grace. God did not help me. I don't have any experience. You know what? You will not become a good and strong soldier for the Lord. Because in here it tells us strength can only be acquired through remembering the grace of God, through pondering upon his love. And because of this kind of love that intrigue you, push you, force you, say, I will live a different life for my Lord. That's where the strength comes from. So Apostle Paul That's how he became such a mighty and powerful worker. The Bible describes him as a man that flipped the earth upside down. Heaven and earth, upside down. Wherever he traveled, the world turns upside down. That's how the Bible describes his power. Why? Because he always feel and be compelled by the love of God. Also, brothers and sisters, you have to always remember, meditate, retrieving the memory of what he had done for you in your life. That's the first thing. Second, you must learn the teaching. And here it says, the words that you hear from me, you must hear the teaching as well. Because only through the teaching of the law, you know how to conduct yourself. And only when you learn how to conduct yourself, you are able to live as a man of maturity. What is the greatest differences between little ones and full-grown adults? The biggest difference is maturity. If you turn 25, some of you are 20, 25. If you turn 20, 25 already, and when there is something happen, you still run back and cry to your mom. That's not maturity. Oh, when you are outside in school and you have a lollipop and your friend just take it away from your head and you start crying, I'm going to tell my mom. That's not maturity. Even you turn 25, oh, that's not maturity. When you turn 35, one day you are having an argument with your wife, oh, and then you're like, you stop, I'm going to tell my mom. Oh, that's not maturity. Oh. So, brother, do not do that. In the future, in your marriage, do not always threat your wife that you will go and tell your mom. It doesn't work very well. Okay? So, in here, there's the second thing that you must grow in. You must grow up in your spiritual status. But how do you grow up? How do you grow up? Through the words of God. Absorbing, eating the words of God make you a strong man. That's the second thing. Huh? And number three is you need spiritual companion. In here it says, find those who are trustworthy, those people that can share this workload, bear this burden, carry this cross along with you in this journey to heaven. Those are your trustworthy companions. And those are who you need in this journey to heaven. That's number three. Huh? And number four, that you must learn to endure sufferings. Let's turn to a verse. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know this. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Verse 4. Perseverance, character, and character, hope, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Spirit whom he has given us. Oh, so in here, Paul told us that there is always a reason for suffering. So we should not allow ourselves to suffer in vain. After you leave here, you will suffer. You will suffer. Suffer to be a good person. Suffer to live out a godly life. Suffer to be able to stand firm and dare to be different. Dare to be different among your peers. And you will suffer. I tell you that. Sometimes people will try to mock you. People will try to challenge you. People will try to just, you know, make you angry for just because you want to be good. Just because you want to be better. They might make fun of you. Forget it. We know who you are, but you should tell them, no, I am different. They might try to invite you to do bad things, and you say no. They will say, come on. Either you come with us, or you are no longer our friend. Pressure will be on your shoulder. Challenge will be posed to you, and suffering is inevitable in this journey to heaven. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible told us that our Lord suffered so that he could be done with sin, that we should also imitate him. For those who suffer can be done with sin, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, suffering is inevitable, but endure will lead you to salvation. Endure will allow you to be a mighty soldier of the Lord. Endure will allow you to be strong and courageous. So that's the four things that Apostle Paul wants every one of us to remember in order to be the mighty soldier of the Lord. But following, after these four entrustments, four instructions, and then he continued to tell you and I, you need four ways of living, in order to be the mighty soldier of the Lord. Let's read, let's turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I think here says, being a good soldier, good soldier of Christ, Jesus, verse 4. No one serves as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Also, I think here, the first thing, the first type of life that you must acquire in order to be a good soldier is what? A life of simplicity. For simplicity. In the sermon that we heard yesterday, simple life allow you to draw near to God. In fact, simple life allow you to see God. What is the biggest problem in your generation, or in my generation too? What is the biggest problem? Cyber safety and purity. That's the biggest problem in your generation, in my generation. There are just too many medias, informations, good and bad, but everything filled in our life. Some good, some bad, though. But there are so many things populate our life from morning to evening. It seems like life is more convenient. It seems like communication becomes way easier, but at the same time, it seems like our life is far more complicated than ever in the human history. Seriously, in the past generations, farmers, maybe in their entire life, they are only in their neighborhood. The only thing they learn is how to farm. The only thing they talk about is probably, how is the rain? How is the weather? Do you think that the crops will grow good this year? You know what? Their life is very simple. So once they have religion, or once they were taught about fearing God, once they learn about the truth, once they know how to serve God or worship God, it becomes everything in their life. You know what? When I was in Africa, I was very, very much put to a shame. Why? Because when I was having a joining their seminars with some of the local brothers and sisters, some of the local workers, my goodness, they know their Bible so well. You know what they do? In some of the seminars, pastor will just randomly throw verses, and they will be like, me. Oh, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I was like, okay. You know, I have to like move back to hide in the corner because I don't know how to answer those questions. And they were like, oh, very well versed. I was so embarrassed. It's just amazing of how much, and you look at their Bible, the Bible is flipping back and forth like it's falling apart. Is it because that they are way more religious than you and I? That could be, probably. But I find out one thing. For them, out of their simple life, because they don't have much to do. In Africa, there's no electricity. There's no much entertainment. So their biggest entertainment is probably attending the service and reading the Bible. Bible is probably one of the very, very few books that they ever own in their life. So they read back and forth and back, because it's fun for them. But for us today, we have so many things other than religious things that we can do. You can go out, hang out with your friend, go to the new restaurant. You can get online, play this game, do that, do this. There are so many things that you could have done, and they all sound so much more entertaining than that of the service and the Bible. That's why we are less well-versed. That's why coming to church becomes a struggle. That's why worshiping God becomes a burden on our shoulder, because our life is too complicated. There are just so many things that you could choose, and you'd rather choose other than the church. Also, we need to come back, return to the original. Try to allow ourselves to live in a simple life. Simple life. Because when you have a simple life, things become very easy. You have 20 minutes. You have 20 minutes extra time. Or after study, before you sleep, you have 20, 30 minutes. And you look around your room, there is nothing except a big Bible in front of you. What do? You don't have phone. You don't have computer. You don't have entertainment systems. You have nothing in your room except a Bible. What do? You pick up the Bible and kneel down and pray. And then your life becomes different. That's how you begin to live as a life of a mighty soldier. Also, I know some youth that they set up this timer at their timer thing locked to their electricity, like power cord, like far down the hallway. And once it hits 11, the power shuts off. I mean, the power that connects to the computer, to whatever, once it hits that clock, it shuts off. So in the house, the only thing you have is light. And that's it. Of course, you can go through the trouble to run to the hallway, to readjust, and then turn all the power back on again, and turn your computer back on again. But you know what? They choose to do that as enforcement. At 11 o'clock, everything shuts off. That's the time for the Lord. Pray, read Bible for the next 30 minutes before they turn everything back on again. That's called simple life. Because at that time, you do not read your Bible at the same time look at your cell phone. You do not kneel down to pray at the same time peek to see if any of your friends sending you an email through Facebook. You don't, because everything is shut off. The only thing you have is kneeling down to pray and read Bible. And you know what? When you have a simple life like that, you become mighty soldier of the Lord, even just for 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes. Many years ago, when I was in a church, in their church youth fellowship. In the beginning, that youth fellowship is so weak. We have like, five people attending. And people were like, just feel like they dragged themselves in there. Nobody wants to be there. Until the class coordinator decided to do something. He said, we cannot be like this. We are college youth, but we are very useless in our local church. We are unable to take on any holy work. Church will not entrust us anything. We are useless. We are young men. We are supposed to be strong and courageous, but we are not. So the class coordinator said, start from today and on. From 11 to 11:30 is the time that we all kneel down to pray. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in school, at home. Doesn't matter where you are. 11 to 11:30, you kneel down and you pray. And you know what? We actually really did that. Even sometimes we have like a late evening events, like a whole bunch of youth in some member's house, just having fun. But when 11 hits, the coordinator will come and say, hey, no more fun. Turn off everything. Kneel down and pray together until 11:30. And it has been done for months. So I did that in college as well. I have a roommate who is a non-believer. He's an American Hungarian, big guy. But when it comes to 11, I just look at him. And he's like, okay, you pray, I leave. Sometimes in the winter day, he'll be like, okay, I'll go to 7-Eleven. So he just leave for that 30 minutes because I don't care. Whether he's in the room or he's not in the room, I don't care, I pray. You like, you stay, you don't like, you go out. That's how it is. But you know what? After pray for a few months, you start seeing the transformation. You start seeing the spirit of the youth fellowship to transform. And after 1 year of prayer, we have active youth, which means that in average, every week they attend the youth fellowship, 38. 38 active. And we take on so many church work, newsletter. We take on majority of the church work. Because now we are worthy to do some work for the church. Why? Because we pray. So brothers and sisters, having a simple life, even 30 minutes, you shut yourself from the world and 30 minutes pray just for the Lord. Or if you say 30 minutes too much, 10 minutes Bible reading, 20 minutes prayer. You do it for 1 year, I guarantee you, your life will be very different. So next year when you come back for 2014 NYTS, you do not come here and say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. Lord, I sin against you. Lord, please give me strength to break away from all these evil things. Lord, please give me strength to say no to my friend. All those. Next year when you come back, 2014, you'll be like, Lord, I'm going to dedicate my life for you. Lord, please give me strength. I will go out and preach for you. Lord, use my life as a valuable and honorable vessel in your household. That's different. That's different. So the first one, living a simple life. What's the second thing? Now let's look back. In verse 5, Verse 5, similarly, if anyone compete as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he compete according to the rules. Today, if you are joining a marathon, you want to attend the marathon, 24.5 miles, you want to attend a marathon, something like that. You want to join a marathon, and after the signal, you start running, and after you run for 10 minutes, kind of tired. So you're like, hey, taxi. Just follow over the taxi, hop on the taxi all the way to the end. And then get off 1 mile before the finish line. Oh, running, and just pretend some sweat. And when you are the first one, run through the finish line. World record. Only took you what? 15 minutes. Do you think that they will give you a crown? No, you will be all over the newspaper for sure, but you won't be getting the crown. You won't be getting the crown. You'll probably be under like the most hilarious person or the most hilarious event throughout the year, being recorded. So you will not receive anything unless you follow the rules and regulations in order to compete and be successful. And so brothers and sisters, also, in order for us to serve the Lord and be the mighty soldier, you also need to compete by the rules. Submissions. That's why we say NYTS need you to serve, need you to suffer, and need you to submit. That's the spirit of NYTS, and that's the spirit to serve the Lord. Let's turn to Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. So here the law set the rule very clear to us. The law is the guideline. You follow the regulation, you follow the rules, you follow the law. Otherwise, even you pray is detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Also, brothers and sisters, prayer is good, but prayer will not work for those people who refuse to follow the rules and regulation. Prayer is good, but prayer will not help those who are unable to submit. The Bible told us that Jesus' life was so honorable because he fully submit himself. And because of his submission, according to the book of Hebrew, because of his full submission, that his prayer was heard and answered by the Lord. So you want your prayer to be heard by the Lord. You want your prayer and plea to be answered by the Lord. You need to learn to obey and submit. That's called rule and regulation, whether you like it or not. Because if you don't like it, you break the rule, you just don't receive the crown. That's how it is. That's how it is. Whether you like it or not, that's how it is. You say, I don't like to follow the rules. Then you just don't receive the crown. Simple like that. You don't get to change the rule. You only have two choices. You can whether obey or disobey. we can only accept or not accept, but you do not get to change the rule and regulation. So submission is the beginning of a good stewardship, a good soldier, a good worker for the Lord. That's the second thing that we need to keep in mind, submission. Number three and number four, that in here says, the hardworking farmers receive the harvest first. So number three, you need to work hard. There's no other trick. There's no other tips. There is no other way around. You just need to work harder. Push yourself. That's why the Bible told us that who can get to heavenly kingdom? Who can enter into the narrow gate? For those who strive and working hard. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Heavenly kingdom is for those who work hard for it. You fight the battle until you push yourself through the gate. That's how it is. So our life is a continuous struggle. Our journey is a continuous battle. You just have to work hard like a farmer. But the Lord also promised you, every time when you suffer, you make a choice, a difficult choice for you. When you make a choice with your tear, in here says you will reap the benefit first. Whenever you, for God's sake, pressed your desire to choose what God wants you to choose. It's very difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult. Maybe it hurts to let go. Maybe you shed tears. You feel suffering. But you know what? The Lord will comfort you. Because the Bible tells us that every tear the Lord will store in the bag. He remembers every tear that you have shed in order to be a better Christian. He remembers. And here it says, hardworking farmer shall receive the harvest first. You suffer for him, he will bless you tremendously. You give up your desire for him, he will surely benefit you with a greater blessing than you can ever imagine. So hardworking, push yourself. Number four. Let's read verse chapter 2, verse 7. Number 4, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight. Huh? Number 4, you need to what? Contemplate, meditate, think. The Lord give you wisdom for a reason so that you can always examine again over and over about your life, about your faith. And review yourself to see where you are today. Also, there are four kinds of life that the Lord requires of you and I in order to be a good soldier of Christ. The first one, a simple life. The second one, a life with rules and regulations. A life of obedience. The first one is life of simplicity. Second one is life of obedience. Number three is life of diligence, hardworking. Number four is life of meditation or self-examination. And every prayer is the opportunity for us to examine ourselves. What have I been doing for this past 2 weeks? What have I received? And also every prayer is for us to ask ourselves, what have I determined for the Lord? What kind of battle am I going to fight for him? How am I going to live my life after I leave here today? Ask ourselves and find the answer. Be the good soldier of the Lord. The prayer is your opportunity. Let's come to the front.